we are joined by our attorney, lawyer, barrister extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. All right, here's my question for you. Are you going to call the snitch line on Thanksgiving if some of your neighbors have a lot of cars in their driveway? You had sent me this yesterday. There is a Minnesota snitch line. It actually was established in late March, and I don't know how many people called, but now it's sort of having a resurgence where, what'd you say, they're encouraging friends, family, neighbors to call and narc on their neighbor if they're having too many people.
Yeah, this came up on it was posted on a community bulletin board site on Facebook that I'm part of. And there was somebody literally was suggesting that people call this number to report Thanksgiving celebrations of more than 10 people.
I understand we want to contain this, but we talked off the air and you made a great point. What about Home Depot and Cub and Target and all these and Menards and all these big box stores where I heard that they were going to limit the number of people in Walmart? I was in there the other day. They weren't limiting anything. And
no,
I am tired of this. These people who go into the store either with no mask or pulled below their nose. Those are the people that should get kicked out on their butts.
Usually, you go to a Target and they've got people standing right there at the door
to make sure you've got the
mask on. I've seen people stopped. At least
really?
At some of the Targets that I've been to, yep. You know, it's just this whole attitude of where's the science behind all of these restrictions? You know, the governor came out with another set of restrictions last week. No bar seating. Right. So every bar in town has high top tables pushed up against the bar and the servers can come around the bar and serve them. And I'm like, where's your data as to that? This is somehow one versus the other is acceptable. Right. You know, where is the data that playing pool or darts somehow keeps people in bars longer or you know, helps spread the virus? What's to say that the 10 p.m. closings helps curtail? I mean, we all were told, you know, 15 days to stop the spread. Then it was, you know, a mask, you know, all how to wear masks. I haven't seen any data yet that says that there's any difference in transmission and in infection rates in the states that have a mask mandate versus those that don't. It's a virus.
I'm going to continue wearing a mask, but we are having a surge here, and it's worse in many states than it was when it first hit, and people have been wearing masks. I mentioned earlier, there are a few that aren't, but it's a few. They're not the ones spreading this to everyone. So really, and the other thing, putting a piece of cloth over you is not going to do it. You really do need a better mask
I think part of this is it's a couple things. You know, I remember I have some of my ex-NFL player clients said one time that he was in favor of going back to leather helmets because, you know, the football helmet gave the players a false sense of security when they were out on the field. I think that the masks are giving everybody this false sense of security. And I think it's partly fatigue, too. People are just tired of the restrictions, but they feel that they can, you know, and you know, these protests that we've had over the summer were a key point, and all these political rallies. It's like, well, I got a mask on. Well, okay, that, you know, we've conditioned the population that as long as you're wearing a mask, you can do whatever you want. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that. I think you're seeing fatigue with the heavy-handed restrictions, particularly from our governor. People are just sick of it.
Well, do you think that most people will respect this no more than 10 on Thanksgiving if you're used to having
no.
a big one for your family?
No, I don't. I don't. I think that here's where I think a lot of people are at this point, Bob. I think initially everybody was on board with the restrictions. Back in March when we were looking at talking about, you didn't know a whole lot about this virus. There was talk about 2.2 million deaths in this country. Everybody was on board to do what we needed to do to, I think they said, flatten the curve, reduce the hospital ICU capacity, or keep it free so that people could be treated. So we did end up like Italy, right?
Yep.
Well, now we've seen over several months, there are certain populations that are more affected by this virus than others. For a lot of folks without comorbidities, you've got a 99 point something survival rate. You have treatments now, both therapeutic treatments. And now I think the governor said yesterday that where there was originally talk that the vaccine would be made available to the public late winter, early spring. Now he's saying it could be in the next several weeks.
For the elderly and for certainly healthcare workers.
He was talking about the public yesterday.
I don't think so.
So you've got two different vaccines with over 90% effective rate. The Moderna one, I think you talked about on the show yesterday, doesn't require freezing it.
You know, you could keep that other one. The Pfizer one, that one seems to be, I want the Moderna one because it's almost 5% more success rate, and it doesn't have to be minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
My point is, Bob, that you know the focus should be on these, you know, on treatment. I mean, some of these governors just seem, and ours is included, seem to want to just come up with more restrictions. You know, Fauci is talking about canceling Christmas. Biden is saying, do that, wear a mask. Don't meet for this Thanksgiving, or you're not going to have next Thanksgiving. He's not even in office yet. And it's like, boy, you know, some people just literally, this is becoming less about stopping a virus and more about exerting power over people. And that's what people are getting frustrated with.
He's the one pushing for a dark winter, you know, what he had brought up in the last debate or the second debate. You know, I don't have faith in him. And he's going to be basically, if he messes with this warp speed, what Trump put in effect, just let it play it out. And the other thing, I don't know what more at this time Trump could do, because he doesn't have the power. It's up to the states to set their own restrictions. What is Biden going to do? He said he's going to call all the governors and encourage them to have wear masks and maybe have a lockdown. That's not his call.
What I've told people is this. This is kind of delicious to watch. If you recall, we talked about a few weeks ago how Clarence Thomas is essentially the de facto chief justice at this point, given Amy Coney Barrett's appointment to the Supreme Court. Roberts doesn't really matter anymore. Thomas being the longest serving member as part of what I call the Fab Five, he's going to control a lot of the agenda of the court and what the court does. You have a situation here where the president-elect is the guy that tried to ruin Clarence Thomas's life. How many initiatives do you think Joe Biden's going to have struck down by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional?
Well, if the man holds a grudge, you might think a few.
I have heard that he's still bitter about that. I think you can see all his opinions being started as well.
That will be interesting to see how they would play out. Now, let me ask you very quickly. Do you see anything going to the Supreme Court in this bid by Trump to overturn votes?
Well, Pennsylvania is already there with the issue of the late counted ballots. You know, I don't know. It seems to me what the objective is whether it's Pennsylvania plus one more, right? It could be Pennsylvania plus Georgia. Georgia's not looking good right now. Other than these, I know those 2,600 ballots found yesterday, but I don't know still that there's enough to.
We don't know where were they found, in a Biden area or a Trump area?
The most of them went to. I think there was a big section that of the ones that were counted. I think it was like a large section of Trump ballots.
Okay.
It was like a 60-40 or 70-30 split, something like that. So you've got Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, possibly Arizona and Nevada still being looked at. And then you've got Pennsylvania. I think what the objective is to get two states thrown out, where there's just so much. If they can show that something went wrong with the machines or whatever it is that they're claiming, that, you know, that the states couldn't certify those vote totals, right? Because you've got Republican legislatures in a lot of those states. And then if they don't certify, then those electoral votes don't count. It goes to the House and Trump wins. I think that's part of what the strategy is. I don't think at this point, I'm kind of at the point where it's put up or shut up. Show this evidence that you supposedly have, or, you know, if you've got whistleblowers, bring them forward. But I just keep the talk in the press all the time from the legal team. It's like, show us what you've got. I'm tired of listening about
it. And they're not. And I think part of it is Trump just wants to torment Biden and make it miserable for him the way it was made miserable for Trump 4 years ago.
It could be.
He is vindictive. There's no doubt in my mind.
What I don't want to see happen is that they screw up those two Senate elections in Georgia, though.
Well,
that
they might.
People feel that the process is rigged, so they stay home and vote. and all of a sudden the Democrats have a majority and they can actually get some of this kooky stuff through.
Let's hope not. Jeff, I greatly appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.